Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Horius Daf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Masech. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara at the top of Daf Yud will begin 5 lines from the top. Minohani Mili. From where do we know that which we learned at the conclusion of the previous shiur, that a Kohen Gadol that left office and sinned, once again, he sinned after he left office, he brings a par, which is the korban that is characteristic of the Kohen Gadol while still in office. So from where do we know that? The Tanur Rabbanon. We have a Tanaic source that goes till the Mishnah. As you can see, all of this is in a frame. V'hikriv al chatosoi. Malamed shemevi chatoso misha'ovar. This teaches us that he, the Kohen Gadol, brings as his korban chatos a par. Shiachol, without the pasuk, v'halo dinhu, I would have come to a conclusion that he does not bring a par. Uma nosi shemevi b'shigigas maisa. Ein mevi chatosu misha'ovar, a king who brings a korban with a mere violation, without a king brings a korban by merely violating, that's called shigigas maisa, without a prior erroneous legal ruling. And yet, ein mevi chatosu mishavar, if he sinned after he left office, he brings a commoner sacrifice. Moshiach she'ein mevi b'shigas maisa el al helam dover im shigas maisa lo kol shekein. The Kohen Gadol, who is, it's harder to mechayev him, so to speak, he brings a korban only if his action was preceded by an erroneous legal ruling. All the more so, he should not bring a par if he violated after he left office. Therefore, Talmud Lomar v'hikriv al chatoso. Therefore, the pasuk has to come to tell me to the contrary. Malamed shemevi al chatoso mishavar. This teaches me that he brings the par, which is the korban that he brought while he was still in office, and he brings that even after he left office. Well, once this is in place, let's try an alternative piece of logic and suggest v'naisi nami nosi mikal v'chomer. Well, let us suggest that a king, after he leaves office, if he then sins, let him bring a sawyer, which is characteristic of the king offering, based on a kal v'chomer. Uma Moshiach she'ein mevi b'shigigas maisa mevi chatos mishavar. Mind you, a Kohen Gadol who does not bring a korban chatos for a mere shigigas maisa, namely a mere violation without prior erroneous legal ruling, and yet he does bring a korban, a par offering, if he sinned after he left office. Nosi shemevi chatos b'shigigas maisa, the king who is more subject to bringing a sacrifice, namely, he brings a korban with a shigeras mais along with a mere violation in action without a prior legal ruling, enodin shemevi chatosu mishavar. He all the more so should be expected to bring that type of korban which he would have brought as king. Talmud Lomar, Asher Nosi Yechata, which we understand Kishu Nosi in, he brings the sawyer only if he sins while a king, Kishu Hedyot Lo, but if he sins while a commoner, meaning after he left office, he does not bring the Nosi Korban, the Soir Korban. The Mishnah, Chotu, a king or a Kohen Gadol, Ad Shelo Nismanu. They sin while still commoners, before they ascended to high office. The Acharkach Nismanu, and then they were appointed to their lofty positions. Hare Elu Kehediotos. We view them as commoners. In other words, according to the Tanakama, It all depends on when the sin was committed. Namely, if the sin was committed while commoner, they bring commoner offering. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shimon disagrees and says, Im noda lohem, if it was discovered by them that they sinned, in other words, the point of awareness of their having sinned, if that came about, ad shelo nismanu, chayovim, before they were appointed, in other words, they were commoners when they sinned, and they were still commoners when they found out they sinned, then they bring a korban. Umishinismanu pturim. However, if they sinned while commoners and found out that they sinned after having been appointed to office, then they are exempt. Ezu nosi, and what is a nosi? Ze melech shenemar mikol mitzvot Hashem elokov. The pasuk that uses the term nosi uses this expression, and we darshan this shein al gabov elo Hashem elokov. This is an individual that has no one above him other than the Almighty, and that's a description of a king. Mino hanimili the tano rabbanan. We're now going to look for sources for that which we were taught. Before we go further, we have some geometric forms that we want to take note of. We have a crown form, and this is featured on the outside margin under our title Nosei Hemshech, a continuation of the previous topic, Mivneh, and structural note. So we see there the crown form, and this emphasizes Hakoyin HaMoshiach and Nosi. As you skim ahead in this on the page, you see here the Koyin Moshiach featured, and a similar source that features the Nosi on the first of the widest lines at the end. The Nosi is in this form. We'll also be seeing a diamond appearing. This is around the expression Prat Lekoidmois. Hainu, this Prat Lekoidmois is a case of Choto. This is the case of Kodmos, is a situation that we described already where they sinned and then were appointed to lofty office. And we say concerning that they bring sacrifices as commoners. We also double underline for emphasis purposes the word hoyl, and you'll see that to be useful when we learn the two sources. So now we turn to the Gemara. We're asking right now, what is the source for the teaching in the Mishnah? The Pasuk says, Im HaKoyin HaMoshiach Yecheto Prat L'Koidmos. The Pasuk that describes a Koyin Moshiach, the Koyin Godol, bringing his par offering, the cow offering, this is to the exclusion of a case where he sinned and then was appointed. V'halo Dinhu. Hey, one second, the Brisa says, even without the Pasuk, I could have known this. Uma nosi shemevi b'shigigas maise, ein mevi al hakodmos, a king who is, we'll say, more subject to bringing sacrifices. He brings it even without an erroneous legal ruling, and yet he does not bring a so'ir on offenses that he committed while commoner. Moshiach she'ein mevi elo al helam dover im shigigas maisa, Kohen Gadol, who is harder to mechayev in bringing a korban in so far as that he brings it only if his act was preceded by an erroneous legal ruling. Eino din shelo yovi al hakodmos, all the more so he should not be obligated to bring a par for an offense done before achieving the lofty office. So I don't really need the pasuk at this point of Im HaKoyin Moshiach Yechta to exclude Kodmos. I could have figured that out from a Kal V'chomer starting off with a nosi, starting off with my logic from the point of view of a nosi. Here the Brisa turns around. Loi. No, we're going to reject the logic. Im Amris Benosi, if you'll tell me that a Nosi is excluded from bringing the Sawyer in the case of Averus committed before he was appointed, Shekein Ein Mevi Chatoso Mishaovar. A Nosi does not bring a Sawyer if he committed a sin after he left office. Taimar Be Moshiach Shemevi Chatoso Mishaovar. Should I say the same thing by a Kohen Gadol who does bring his special par offering if he sinned after he left office? Since we see by the Kohen Gadol that he brings a par even if he committed a sin after having left office, Yovi al Hakodmos, maybe he should bring a par for sins committed while commoner. Talmud Lomar, HaMoshiach Yechato. Therefore, I need the pasuk to decide the matter. Chota Kishu Moshiach Mevi, if the sin was committed while he was Kohen Gadol, then he brings the par. However, prior to that, Kishu Hedot, if he committed the sin while a commoner, Eino Mevi, then he does not bring the par. V'tanyo Nami Gabi Nosi Ki Hai Gafna. And we have a Tanaic source that parallels the Kohen Moshiach in the form of, or in the case of a Nosi. The source begins, Asher Nosi Yechetah, Prat Lekodmos. This pasuk excludes a Nosi from bringing a Sawyer if we're talking about a sin committed while he was before he was appointed to high office. V'halo Dinhu, well, do I really need the pasuk to teach me this? Uma Nosi Shemevi Chatoso Misha'ovar, Eino Mevi Ala Kodmos, a Kohen Gadol, who we see, we treat with a certain point of greater stringency in the sense that he will bring his par offering if he sinned after he left office, and yet we say he does not bring the par for sins committed before he was appointed. That's Eino Mevi Ala Kodmos. Nosi She'ein Mevi Chatosu Misha'avar. The king does not bring the Sawyer offering if he committed a sin after he left office. Eino Din Shelo Yovi Ala Kodmos. And all the more so, he should not bring a Sawyer for a sin committed before he ascended to lofty office. At this point then, what do I need the pasuk of Asher Nosi Yechto to teach me that? That which I could have figured out through logic from the case of the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara says no. The Brisa rejects the logic. Ma le Moshiach shekein ein maybe b'shigigas maisa. How can I learn from the case of Moshiach who does not bring on mere violation through action? He brings a korban only if it was preceded by an erroneous legal ruling. Torimar benosi shemevi b'shigigas maisa. Should I say the same thing by a king who does bring through mere violation through action? Hayol umevi b'shigigas maisa yovi ala kodmos. Since he becomes guilty of bringing a korban through mere action violation, maybe he should bring a sawyer on those things committed before he ascended to lofty office. Talmud Lomar, therefore I need the pasuk to preclude that case of kodmos. Asher nosi yecheto, shechoto varehu nosi. When does he bring the sawyer? Only if he sinned while in office, and not over those sins that were committed before he ascended to high office. Tanu Rabbanan, Asher Nosi Yecheta. Yochoil Gzeira. Are we to learn this pasuk as if it's a Gzeira min Hashamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules that a king shall sin? Talmud Loimar, Im HaKoyen HaMoshiach Yecheta. Notice we've dashed on the word im, the section of the Torah that deals with the Kohen Gadol sinning. It says if he sins, not that he will sin. Ma lahalon lichashiechto, just like in the case of the Kohen Gadol, the pasuk is describing a situation that if he sins, afkan, so too in the case of the king, the nosi, lichashiechto. Omar mar. Yochol Gezeira. The source suggested that maybe the pasuk means that heaven rules that the king shall sin. So the Gemara asks, where would you get this idea in the first place? Gezeira mehechotesi. From where would you get such an idea that the pasuk is saying is ruling that the king will sin? Amri in. The Gemara says, yes, that is a possibility. It's a possibility that the Pasuk is describing a scenario of a king that will sin. As if it's a ruling from heaven that he shall sin. Ashkechon, we find such a thing. Dichtiv, v'nosati negat soras beveis eretz achuzaschem. Besuro hi lohem, the Pasuk is informing them, informing the Jewish people, Shenigoyim boyim aleihem, the very Rabbi Yehuda, that even though this is a basura ra'a, it's a negative piece of news, the nevertheless the Torah is informing them that Negoyim, house afflictions, afflictions of discoloration that lead to ritual impurity imposed on houses, that this will happen to their houses. So since we see a precedent for the Torah sharing a piece of information or informing them of something negative happening, it could be that Asher Nosi Echeta, the Pasuk is revealing to them that their king will sin. Rabbi Shimon Omer Prat Lenige Oinsin. The Pasuk, according to Rabbi Shimon of the Nosati, Negasras, is coming to exclude Nige Oinsin. That those kind of Negoyim, if Negoyim came through the involvement of a demon, those kinds of discolorations, of wall discolorations, will not impart ritual impurity. Lav Omar Rabbi Yehuda Besura. Is it not so that Rabbi Yehuda, in describing this posuk of Inosati Negasras, is saying that the posuk is informing them? Hochanami, so too in the case of the Nosi that sins, Emo Gezerohi. I might have thought to read the posuk as informing them of that which will happen. Hilchok Siv Im. And therefore, in the case of the Kohen Gadol, and we parallel the Nosi to the Kohen Gadol, the Pasuk uses the word im, indicating that if it so happens. At this point in our markings, we have brackets. These brackets are not of the common variety. Usually brackets indicate skip a section and then pick up afterwards to assist in the reading. Here, that's not the case, even though it is true that after the brackets, the Gemara will return to the general topic we're discussing. However, the main role of these brackets is described by our note in the margin. You'll notice a star, and it says, "Sograim Eilu Einom L'Shem Diluk." This bracketed section, and the length of which, by the way, is indicated by a length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll see a vertical dash dotted line. It's these lines that are in the brackets. These, nevertheless, are not for skipping purposes. Elo L'Tachem Oirech HaKeta Shemisaseik B'Shitas Rabbi Shimon. The role of these brackets is to indicate the length of the section of Gemara that will be dealing or focusing on Rabbi Shimon Shita Be'inyan Nige Oinsin, regarding this discoloration that comes about through uncontrollable circumstances. As we saw before, Rashi made reference to the involvement of a shade. And our note continues to say that we're dealing with a keta that's misasik b'shitas Rabbi Shimon b'inyan nige oinsin e mitamu, if concerning whether they will impart ritual impurity. Acharei hasograyim, after the bracketed section, agmor mamshicha b'sugyas nosi shechota. After the brackets, the Gemara will pick up again with the issue of a king that sinned. So that having been said, let's continue now in the brackets, focusing on Rabbi Shimon, who learned the pasuk of Inosati Nega Tzaras Beveis Eretz Achuzaschem as excluding Nige Oinsin. Ula Rabbi Shimon Nige Oinsin Mi Lo Metamu. And according to Rabbi Shimon, is it so that discoloration of house walls does not impart Tumah V'ha Tanya? We have the following source that concerns Tzaras Odom Kiyeh. That's the pasuk. And we say min hadibor v'elech, that from Matan Torah onwards, the skin discolorations on a person's body are metame. But if a person before the giving of the Torah happened to have these discolorations, those would not impart tuma. V'halo dinhu. Well, I could figure this out through logic. Tome b'zav v'tome b'negoyim. Zav is a male type emission that results in tuma. So there is something called tuma zav, and negoyim, these skin discolorations, without of course getting into the different details of the nature of the discoloration, but that discoloration also imparts tuma. Ma zav min hadibor v'elech, just like zav the emission imparts tuma only from Matan Torah onwards. Af negoyim min hadibor ve'elech. Likewise, with regard to negoyim. So the question now is, why do I need this pasuk that says Odom Kiyeh to teach me something I could have figured out from Zav? Loi, no, I can't figure it out from Zav. Imamris bezav shekein ein mitame ve'ones. If I tell you the limitation of the Zav ability to impart tuma from dibor ve'elech, that's true by Zav, because Zav does not impart tuma if the zivo came about through uncontrollable circumstances, through some kind of what we will term oines. Toimar b'negoyim shemetamim b'oines. Can I say the same thing with regard to negoyim, where there's a broader realm of tuma with regard to negoyim, in so far as that if the nega comes about through oness, through some kind of oness circumstances, they do metame. So being that the realm of tuma of negoyim is expanded, maybe even negoyim that appeared before the Matan Torah would be metame. Talmud lomar odom kiyeh min adibur v'elech. Therefore, I need the pasuk to tell me that only from Matan Torah onwards are negoyim metame. But for our purposes, notice we have a question mark. We're faced with a question. We've dashed underlined a source in which it says b'negoyim metamen bo'ines. So how can it be maintained that Rav Shimon says that negoyim are not metame bo'ines? Answers to this: number one, Rava Omar prat lenige ruchais. The statement of Rabbi Shimon that said prat lenige oinsen, those are negoyim that come about through shadim. That's what Rabbi Shimon says is not metame. But other kinds of nige oines would be metame. Rav Pop Omar prat lenige kshofim. We can take a look at Rashi. You'll find him in the outside margin. Rav Popo Omar ki Omar Rabbi Shimon prat lenige oines al yidei kshofim, through black magic. If negoyim come about through kshofim, de lo metamu. V'chi katoni toimar b'negoyim de metamu b'oines. And the source that says that negoyim are metamu oines kagon shelo al yidei kshofim, that negoyim that come about through other oines means that are other than kishuf, other than black magic. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see, it's in a frame. Asher Nosi Yechta Prat L'Choyla. A Nosi that sins brings a Sawyer. This is to the exclusion of a king that is sick. So the Gemara asks, Mishum Dahavi L'Choyla Yivchi Le Min Susei. And because he became sick, he is cast away, he's removed from office. Omar Rav Avidimi Bar Chama Prat L'Nosi Shinitztara. This Tanaic source is coming to limit a king that became a Metzora. If he sins, he does not bring a Sawyer. How do I know that a king that became a Metzora, which is the Choyla that the source is referring to, how do I know that he leaves office? There's a pasuk that says so in Sefer Melachim. Shenemar v'inaga Hashem es hamelech v'hi mitzora ad yoy moisoi v'yoshev beveis hachofshis v'yoysom ben hamelech al habayis. So it says here that it says v'yeshev beveis hachofshis, he became chofshi, he became free from the malchus, from the monarchy, and hence became like a commoner. Midukomar beveis hachofshis, from the fact that it says he, after he became a tzar, he was sitting in the free house, chopshis meaning free, michlal de ad hashto eved havi, that until now he was considered a slave. A slave means he was a slave to the people by virtue of the fact that he was a king. A king, ironically, is referred to as a slave because of this fact that he's a servant of the people. And this idea now is captured in the following long point that we have indicated on the side of the Gemara. The immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a nun that's encircled with a vertical dashed line that goes to the top of Yud Amud Beis, we're now going to focus on this idea that that high office, in fact, is servitude. And the Gemara shares with us a story that will illustrate this point. Ki ha, the Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua Abu Azli Besfinta, these two great sages were sailing on a boat. Bahadei the Rabbi Gamliel have a pita. Rabbi Gamliel had a supply of bread. Bahadei Rabbi Yeshua have a pita vesulta. Rabbi Yeshua had not only bread, but he had also flour. Sholem pita the Rabbi Gamliel, the bread supply of Rabbi Gamliel got used up. Bread doesn't have that long a shelf life. So he ate what he had and finished. He didn't bring that much with him. It wouldn't have been preserved too long. So he finished that which he had. Sama chasulte to Rabbi Yeshua. And he relied on the flour supply that Rabbi Yeshua had brought in addition to his own bread. Omale, mihavi yadistave lon ikuva kulehai di asis sulta. Did you know, Rabbi Gamliel asked Rabbi Yeshua, did you know that we would be delayed on this voyage so long that you were motivated to bring soles as well? In other words, how did you know to bring that, the soles, which has a longer shelf life than the bread? Amale, so Rabbi Yeshua answered, Koychav echo l'shivim shana oila. There's a celestial phenomenon where a particular star arises in the heavens, and it, generally speaking, seafarers would navigate through the stars. But the presence of this star would cause seafarers, being that it was a very uncommon experience, once every 70 years it would rise and cause them to go astray. That's umata es asaponim, cause the seafaring vessels to go astray. V'amarti, and I figured, says Rabbi Yeshua, Shemo Yale V'yato Yisano. He made his own calculations and figured that it's about time that this star may arise and cause us to go astray, and that would be the result of our lengthened voyage. Omale, Rabbi Gamliel says, Kol kach biyodcha. You have such knowledge, such wisdom, the Ata Oila Besfina, and you have ascended the boat. You have gone up on the boat to seek out Parnosa. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua, it was Rabbi Gamliel realized or knew that Rabbi Yeshua was taking this voyage in order to seek means of money, means of income. In other words, he was unable to support himself where he was. He had to travel afar for income purposes. And Rabbi Gamliel was amazed. A man of such talent, of skill and knowledge and wisdom, why is it that you have to get on a boat to travel afar to seek out your parnosa? Omar Lay. So Rabbi Yeshua said, Ad Shata Toma Olai, instead of being amazed at me, Toma Shnei Tamidim Shiesh Lecho B'Yabosha. You should be amazed, you should be concerned over two students of yours that are back home on the Yabosha, on shore. Rabbi Lozer Chasmo, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgirar. These two people, Sheyoidin L'shayar Kamatibos Yesh Bayam, they have such skills and wisdom that they can calculate the number of drops that there are in the sea. The Ein Lohem Pas Lecho V'lo Beged Lubosh. And they don't have bread to eat nor clothing to wear. They're in dire poverty. Well, upon hearing that, Rabbi Gamliel became full of compassion, and Nosan Daito the Hoshivam Barosh. He figured, oh, I've got to appoint them to a position of authority, and through that position they'll make money, they'll have an income. Kisha'ola, when Rabbi Gamliel returned home and got back to shore, Sholach Lehem V'lobo, he sent for them, but they didn't come. They hesitated. They realized that he was offering them office, and they wanted to run away from authority, from achieving authority. Chozar v'sholach, he sent for them again, ubo, and this time they responded and came. Amar lahem, Rabbi Gamliel, upon seeing that they were hesitant in coming, in so as there was out of a sense of possible humility, if you will, because they were being offered a position of sroor, a position of authority, they attempted to refuse. So Rabbi Gamliel says to them, "Kimedumin atem shesroor ani nosen lechem? You think I'm offering you a position of authority?" In fact, he was. However, don't think that achievement of a position of authority means you're sitting on high. Avdus ani noisei lochem. And this is what we've dashed, underlined, because this is the reason we brought this particular story in, to show that the term Beis HaChofshis, in the context of the king, that when he left office, he now becomes free, because while in office, he's like a slave. And it was in the same vein that Rav Gamliel was saying this to these students, that my offering you a position of authority is, in a sense, causing you to be in bondage. Shinemar, the Pasuk, following Pasuk, describes the counsel that the sages gave to the king Rechavom, who was the son of Shlomo Melech. It says, the Pasuk says, Vayedabru elov lemor, im hayom tia eved la'am hazeh. Notice they were addressing a king, and they used the term, if you will be a slave to the people. So the term eved is something that's appropriate to someone that occupies high office, even the highest office. Tanu Rabbanan, asher nosi yecheto. Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai darshens the word asher nosi yecheto and says, Ashrei hador shanosi shelo mevi korban al shigoso. It's interesting to note that this pasuk was part of a discussion on Omer Aleph, where we had raised the question, is this pasuk suggesting that it's a gezero that the king will sin? And the Gemara answered, no, it's not so. We learned from the Kohen Mashiach, where the pasuk used the term im, that if he sins. But we never explained the meaning of asher nosi yechata. And here, the Brisa picks up with that topic, or with that pasuk, and we'll finally get an answer to that. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says that asher is from the word ashrei, fortunate. Ashrei hador, fortunate is the generation, shanosi shelo, that its king may be korban al shigoso, is willing to bring a korban, a sacrifice, in the case that he sins inadvertently. In nosi shelo may be korban, if the king is if the king is such that he brings a korban sorach ato loymar mao hedyon, can you imagine what the state of the commoner would be? He'll certainly bring a korban. In other words, a king who is bound to no other man, he still feels the need to bring a sacrifice to achieve atonement. Then all the more so will commoners of such a generation feel a need to seek atonement, which is a very positive thing. Vim al shigigoso may be korban, and if for an act that he a sin that he committed inadvertently, he nevertheless seeks out atonement through bringing a korban. Sorhat lomar mahu zdono, we have to even think about what his reaction would be for sins that he committed deliberately. In other words, the feeling is that if a person who committed a sin inadvertently feels the need to seek atonement, a sin committed deliberately, all the more so will he feel a sense of remorse and a need to do penitence. At this point, the Gemara raises a question. It lasts a few lines. You could see this also from our long question indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Maskif lo rovo brei de rabo. Elo me'ato. If you're darshaning the pasuk the way we just did, that asher means fortunate is, dechtiv, there's another pasuk that says, ve'es asher choto min ha'kodesh yishalem. U'birovam benevot dechtiv bei, concerning the evil king Yerovam ben Nevat, it says asher chotov asher hechti, he sinned and he caused others to sin. Hachinami d'ashri hadorhu, is there something fortunate about a generation that has a king like that? So the Gemara says shiny hocha, our pasuk of asher nosi yechata, this is different. That in this pasuk we have to darshan it, we have to focus on the ashrei and come to a unique conclusion, even though in general I would not darshan the word asher that way. Why? Deshani kra b'diburei. Here the pasuk changed from its natural course of speech. What do we mean by that? So we'll take a look at Rashi. On the second narrow line in the outside margin of Rashi commentary, shani hocha, deshani kra b'diburei, de be'idach ksiv, in the other psukim it said, im kol adas Yisrael yishgu, im hakoyin hamoshiach, im nefesh. By the other sections that deal with the korban chatos, the section opens up with the word im. V'hachaksiv asher nosi yechata. Here there's a change. It doesn't say im nosi yechata. Therefore, vadai asher mashma. Therefore, the word asher certainly will connote Ashrei, fortunate. Continuing in the Gemara, actually before we continue with the Gemara, let's glance at the side, the nosei, the topic heading that accompanies this sugya. We've called this Tzadik Viralo Rosha V'Toivloi. The Gemara will touch on the issue of the righteous that have it bad and the wicked that have it good. The focus of the Gemara will involve the introduction of these ideas. We also will have a mivneh note, a double underline. Shnei deos, we've written in our structural note, two opinions, mosai shayach lomar ashreim letzadikim. When will it be appropriate to apply the saying, fortunate are the righteous when such and such happens. We'll see exactly what that means when we get into the Gemara. Dorash Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda, my dichtiv, yesh hevel asher nase al horetz. Now, if you look at the star note on the side, we quote the pasuk in Koheles in full. So let's read the pasuk again in full, looking at the side. Yesh hevel asher nase al horetz, asher yesh tzadikim asher magi aleim kemaise horeshoyim, v'yesh rishoyim shemagi aleim kemaise hatzadikim. Amarti shegam ze hevel. The Gemara. Ashrehem letzadikim, fortunate are the righteous, shemagi alehem, that befalls them, kemaise horeshoyim shel olam habo, b'olam hazeh. What happens to reshoyim in olam habo? Well, they have tzoros, they suffer. So this pasuk is interpreted to mean, fortunate are tzadikim, that befall them in this world, that which happens to reshoyim in the olam habo, tzoros, namely, fortunate is the righteous individual that suffers in this world. Oy lohem l'rishoyim, and woe unto the wicked, shemagia alehem. Kemaise ha-tzadikim sh'olam ha-bo, bo'olam hazeh. Woe unto the... Now, we have to think, what befalls the righteous in the world to come? Wonderful things. Rewards. So, we're saying here that woe unto the wicked that receive rewards in Olam Hazeh, and that being that if they're going to receive rewards in Olam Hazeh, then any zechus they may have had, any merits they may have performed, they're getting their reward now, but in the world of eternal reward, they won't benefit. Omar Rava. Rava asks on this approach to things. He says, Otu tzadiki i'achli trei almi mi soni lahu. Is it so bad to tzadikim if they would have it good, not only in Olam Haba, but also in Olam Hazeh? Because what you're saying is that it's good for tzadikim to have tzoros in Olam Hazeh. Is it not good for tzadikim to have benefit in Olam Hazeh, in addition to Olam Haba? Elo Omar Rava. Rava therefore comes up with his approach. Ashrehem letzadikim, fortunate are the righteous, Shemagi alehem kemaise horishoyim shel oilam hazeh bo oilam hazeh. Fortunate are the righteous that that experience that which the evil experience in olam hazeh. We mentioned before that the wicked in olam hazeh will receive benefits for the few merits they have. So we're saying that the idea of receiving benefit for tzadikim is wonderful if they get rewards even in Olam Hazeh. Oy lohem l'rishoyim, shemagi aleim kemaise hatzadikim shel Olam Hazeh, bo'olam hazeh. And woe unto the wicked that befall them that which happens to many righteous in Olam Hazeh, than namely tzoros, the suffering, and woe unto the wicked that experience suffering in Olam Hazeh, because they're certainly going to receive suffering in Olam Habo, in the future world, but to even experience that in Olam Hazeh, that's all the worse. Rav Popov of Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, Osu Lekame de Rava. These two rabbis came to Rava, Omar Lehu, Rava said to them, Ukimtun Mastefta Plan, Mastefta Plan, are you fluent in this masechta, this tractate, and that tractate, and he was asking them about their learning. Amru le'in, yes, we have achieved fluency in them. Yasru purta, do you have a little bit of wealth? Amru le'in, yes, we are comfortable, we're financially comfortable, and as a result of that, as Rashi points out, we are able to learn, constantly learn, and not have income consider worries. Dezavnon katina da'ara, we bought a little piece of land, and we receive an each one bought his own little piece of land, and we receive an income, fine, nice profits from it. Kori olayu, Rava, upon hearing this, referred to them the following: Ashrehem letzadikim, shemagia aleihem kemaisor shoyim shebaolam hazeh, boolam hazeh. Fortunate are the righteous that experience that which the wicked experience in this world, and the namely rewards, and the tzaddikim, as you fellows have shown, also are enjoying rewards. Omar Rabba Barachan Om Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv, what does the posuk mean that says ki yishon darki Hashem, the tzaddikim yelchu bom upoishim yikoshul bom, the paths of Hashem are straight, the righteous will walk on them, and the sinners will stumble upon it. Before we go further, we have a geometric form, a diamond, which warrants some explanation. Let's take a look at the Nosei Mivneh, the topic heading and structural note accompanying this section. On the outside margin, you notice a diamond, and the word Moshol is featured in this diamond, and a few of them appear as we go on in the Gemara. These are deos, we will see opinions, lahasbir, hodichtiv, opinions to explain the pasuk that we just read, ki yishom darki Hashem sikim yelchu bom upoishim yikosh lubom. The Gemara continues, Moshe l'shnei b'nei odom shetzolu pischehem. We will say that this pasuk, to explain the pasuk, we use as an analogy to people that prepared their they roasted their korban pesach. Echad ochlo l'shum mitzvah. One ate the korban pesach with mitzvah intent. V'echad ochlo l'shum achilo gasa. And the other ate it for the sake of in a fashion that characterizes overeating. The exact definition of achila gasa is something that is the subject of a machlokas rishonim that you can see in Rashi and in the Tosfos Harosh. But for our purposes, we'll use superficial translation of he's eating it in an overeating fashion. Zeh she'ochlo l'shum mitzvah, he who ate it with mitzvah intent, tzadikim yelchu bom. He's described by that part of the pasuk, the righteous will walk on the paths of Hashem. Zeh she'ochlo l'shum achila gasa, he who ate it in an overeating fashion, that's upoishim yikosh lubom. Omar le Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish challenges this explanation of Rabbi Yochanan and says, Rasha koris le, you call someone who eats it in an overeating fashion an evil person? Nihi de lo ovid mitzvah mufchar. Granted that he didn't do it in the best way, he didn't eat it l'shem mitzvah, pesach milo kocha, but did he not in the final analysis eat the korban pesach? So even if he ate it in an overeating or in a stuffing capacity, nevertheless he did eat a korban pesach. Why would you refer to him the term poshim, meaning sinners? Elo, so Reish Lakish comes up with his approach. Moshe l'shnei b'nei odom, imagine two people. Ze ishto v'achoso imo b'bayis. Vze ishto v'achoso imo b'bayis. Two people, each one has his wife and his sister in their houses. Echod nizdam lo ishto, one of these men at night when it was dark had in effect relations with his wife. The echod nizdamna loy achosu, and the other one chanced upon his sister, which is a forbidden relation. Zeh nizdamna lo ishto, he who ended up having intimacy with his wife, sadikim yechubam, that's the fulfillment of the righteous who walk on Hashem's path. Vizesh nizdamna lo achosu, the other one who happened to conduct relations with his sister, upoishim yikosh lubam. The Gemara asks, this analogy, though, doesn't parallel the pasuk. Mi dummy. How can you compare this analogy to what the pasuk says? Anan kwamrinon chado derech.
the pasuk describes one path that two people walk on. V'acha shnei derachim. Here, however, you're talking about two different paths, so to speak. We're talking about two different people and what happened to them. Ela moshol leloit ushnei benoisav. The analogy of one path and what happens to two people is in the story of Lot and his daughters. Hein shenizkavnu l'shem mitzvot, as one who's familiar with the story in Sefer Bereishis will recount that when the city of Sodom was destroyed, Sodom and Amorah were destroyed, the Lot and his daughters had intimacy with one another. His daughters had kavona l'shem mitzvah. They thought that this was the end of the world and they wanted to preserve humanity, so they had mitzvah intentions. That's referred to as tzadikim yelchubam, even though, of course, relations with one's father is a forbidden act. Nevertheless, they intended that positive intention, so the pasuk could describe them as tzadikim yelchubam. Hu sheniskavin l'shem avera, Lot, who had sinful intentions, upoishim yikosh lubam. The Gemara asks, "V'dilma hu nami l'shem mitzvah hu mechavein?" Maybe he too also had meritorious intentions. Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan answers, "Kol haposuk hazeh l'shem avero ne'amar." The following posuk describes Lot's sinful intentions. As we look on the next few lines, you'll notice a number of words that are underlined. The words that are underlined, not dashed underlined, but solid underlined, they form a pasuk. So if we just skim ahead by reading just that which is underlined, you'll come out with the following. It says, Vayisa loit es einov vayar es kol akika hayarden ki kuloi mashke. We're now going to break down this pasuk. This pasuk is once again describing Lot, and by citing parallel psukim in other places, we'll see that each one of the words in this Lot pasuk has to do with sinful intentions. Vayisa Lot. Well, there's another pasuk that uses a similar word. Vatisa Eishes Adonav Eseineha. This is in the case of the wife of Potiphar that wanted to have immoral relations with Yosef. So we see Vayisa is associated with immorality. Es einov. Well, you have another pasuk. Vayomer Shimshon osa kachli ki yishara be'einoi. Shimshon had had intentions to have relations with a woman, and we see that there was some problem with his desires, because is featured by the word be'einoi. Vayar, and we see a pasuk says vayar osa Shem ben Hamor, in the case of Dina being taken by Shem, which was an act of immorality. So you see the same word Vayar appearing. Es kol hakikar yardain. There's another pasuk that says, that describes harlotry, and it says ki ba'ad isho zoyna ad kikar lechem. So we see in the context of harlotry also a form of immorality, the word kikar. Kikulo mashke. The word mashke is now going to be shown in the following pasuk. Elcho achare ma'avai nosne lachmi u'meimai tzamri u'pishti shamni v'shikuyai. The pasuk describing one who's trying to have relations with a woman. I will follow my beloved. So in this pasuk have v'shikuyai, which we've dashed underlined. This is this word has to do with mashke. The Gemara asks, but in the whole story of Lot, was he not drunk? Was he not intoxicated? V'ham meinas onis, was he not in a state of lack of control? How can we describe him as poishim yikoshim? Where's this sinful element? Tama mishum Rav Yosi bar Rebbe Choni. The following teaching will answer that question. Lama nokud alvov shebekumo shel bechira. The posuk in the after the older of the two daughters had relations with her father, the word kumo appears. And in the Torah tradition, in the traditional Torah script, there's a tradition to have a dot appearing above the vav in that word, bikumo. Why does that dot appear? What is its role? Lomar loch. It's there as a limitation device to tell me shebishochva lo yoda, avol bekumo yoda. He was intoxicated and was unaware of the. He was unaware of what was happening before the relations took place. However, after the relations were completed and she got up, he, Lot, did have awareness. He knew what happened. And since there was knowledge, we are not going to classify him as oines, as something beyond his control. The Gemara asks, what could he have done? It's post facto. So why are you calling him a poshea? Why do you say poshim yikoshlubam and describe Lot that way? The Gemara answers, there is some bearing in Lot's behavior. Nafka mino, the lefanya achrino lo iboile lemishti. The practical benefit of his knowing that his elder daughter was with him after the fact would have bearing on the next evening when he should not have become intoxicated again, which he did, and fell into the same trap, so to speak, and had relations with his younger daughter. Dorash Rava, my dichtiv, ach nifsha mikiryas oiz, umidyonim kibriach armoin. What is the meaning of this posuk? Ach nifsha mikiryas oiz, ze loit shepiresh me Avram. This is a reference to Lot, who separated himself from Avram. Umidyonim kibriach armoin. Shehitil midinim bein Yisrael la'amoin. Lot was responsible for strife to develop between the nation of Israel and the nation of Ammon and Moab as well. Ammon and Moab were the children that resulted from the relations Lot had with his daughters. And what do we mean by the strife between Israel and these nations? Shenema lo yovoi amoni umoyovi bekal Hashem. These are two nations that are forbidden. The men of those nations are forbidden to ever marry into the Jewish people. There's strife and separation that has been established between these peoples. Dorash Rava b'Tamer of Yitzchak. May dichtiv l'sav yivakish nifrad b'chol tushiyo yisgalo. What is the meaning behind this pasuk? So, l'savo yavakesh nifrad, ze lot, she nifrad me'avram. Lot, the word tavo means desire. Lot was a man of possibly lust and desire. We saw from the psukim before that this characterized him. So, this l'tavo yavakesh nifrad, this is a reference to Lot, that nifrad that separated himself from Avram. B'chol tushiyah iskala, shenizgala kaloinu b'bote kinesios u'bote midroshois. And that his cologne, his shame, has become public knowledge in shuls and in study halls, in b'bote medrash. Disnan, amoni mo'ovi asurim isur olam. When one learns Torah, he learns this Mishnah that says that Amoni and Moavi are forbidden forever. And when one learns this, he delves into the topic and eventually traces everything back to the shameful act that took place between Lot and his daughters. V'yoma Ula, Tomar Zonso V'Zimri Zina. Two more examples of immorality. However, they will be contrasted. Tamar Zinsa, Tamar was the daughter-in-law of Yehuda, and she had relations with her father-in-law, but yet Yotsu Mimeno Melochim Unevim. The result of those relations were kings and prophets that were her descendants. Zimri had relations with a Gentile woman in the story involving Pinchas, who eventually speared Zimri and Cosby. So he had znus, immorality, with Cosby. Naflu kama revovos miYisrael, and as a result of that incident, many Jews died because of that sin of immorality. It in effect became a public display of immorality on the part of many people in that incident. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Gedoyla Averu Lishma, Mi Mitzvah Shelo Lishma. At this point, we're going to translate this as follows: greater is a sin committed with pious intentions is which greater than this is greater than a mitzvah that's done without mitzvah intentions. And where do we see this? This, of course, will be adjusted a little bit later, but will refined a little bit later. But for the time being, we're saying that greater is an avero lishma than a mitzvah shelo lishma. Shenemar tevoyroch minoshim yoel eishes chevra akeni minoshim boel tevoyroch. That blessed be the woman whose name was Yoel. She had relations with Sisera, who was an enemy of the Jewish people, and as a result of the relations that she had with him, she was able to kill him. So we say that she is more blessed than the Noshim Boel, than the women in the tents. Ma ninu Noshim Boel, who is being referred to here by the women in the tents? None other than our Imos, Sora, Rivka, Rachel, Valea. So the pasuk would seem to say that greater is the act of Yoel, which was an avera lishma, greater than even the imohos. The Gemara asks, "Eini, is this correct?" We have a note to look at in Rashi. You'll notice there's a double star that we've included in the Rashi toward the lower part of the inside margin. Midekomar gedoyla avera lishma mi mitzvah shelo lishma mechlal de mitzvah shelo lishma griusahu. From the way we're setting things up by saying that greater is the avera lishma than the mitzvah shelo lishma, it's made out to sound that a mitzvah shelo lishma is something negative, and that's not so. So the Gemara asks, "Eini, is that so that a mitzvah shelo lishma is something negative?" The Amar of Yirom Arav, the Oylom Yasek Odom b'Toyru v'mitzvos afilu shelo lishma. That a person should pursue the study of Torah and the performance of mitzvahs even without pious intentions. Shemitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. That as a result of practicing things on this low lishma level, eventually he will come to practicing them with the lofty pious intentions that should be present while doing mitzvahs and studying Torah. Well, what do we see? We see that even shelo lishma is considered a proper way, and according to some mafarshim, it's the correct way of starting a Torah life. Therefore, we should refine that which was said earlier, and we call this number two, Ema kimitzvah shelo lishma, that praiseworthy is an avera lishma, like we praise a mitzvah shelo lishma. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Sheva Be'ilo Yisbal Oysurosh Bo'isosho. When Yoel met up with Sisera, so there was they had seven acts of intimacy at that time. Shinemar, the Gemara itself quotes the pasuk partially. Rashi completes the pasuk, and we will find you by looking in the Rashi, you'll find how you get to the number seven. The pasuk says, "Bein ragleo kora nofal shochav." And if you look in the Rashi, you'll notice that we can count till seven. "Bein ragleo kora nofal shochav." "Bein ragleo." Rashi continues, "Kora nofal basher kora shom nofal shodud." And we counted up the different words that are necessary to count, and you'll find hare shiva. The Gemara asks, "V'ha ko mishanya me'avira." Is it not so that Yoel enjoyed this experience? And as a result of that, we're raising the question: how can we say that this is so praiseworthy? After all, was she not enjoying her intimacy with this Rosha? Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't have to concern yourself with that possibility. Afilu toivosam shel rishoyim ro hi etzel tzadikim. Even that which the wicked enjoy is considered very unpleasant when it comes with regard to the righteous. So she had no enjoyment from this. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Leolam Yasek Odom b'Torah v'mitzvos afilu shelo lishma. One should engage in Torah study and performance of mitzvahs even on the lower level, the lower spiritual level of lo lishma. Why? Shemitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. That through doing things shelo lishma, one comes to the higher level of lishma. And the Gemara illustrates this with the following historical information. Shebischar Mem Beis, which is 42 Karbonos Shekubalot Karosha, the reward for the 42 Karbonos that the evil Balak, the king of Moab, offered. He sacrifices in order to arouse the Kodesh Baruch Hu's desire to curse Am Yisrael. So he had very low lishma intentions. Zochav Yatsa Mimenu Rus. He merited having a descendant, Rus, who eventually became the great grandmother of David HaMelech. The Yom Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Rus Bas Benoy Shel Eglon Ben Benoy Shel Bolok Melech Moav. Here we see her pedigree, where she comes for her background stemming from this very king Bolok. Amar Bchia Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Afilu Schar Sichonor. From where do we know the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't withhold reward even from something as minor as proper speech? Minor meaning just even the right choice of words could result in reward. Well, where do we know this from? Mehocha, from the following. We're going to referring back now to the incident of Lot and his daughters. The Ilu Bechira, the elder daughter that had relations with her father, the Karya Moav, the son that she had, she called Moav, which is a bit coarse in the sense that Moav means min Abba, min Avi, from my father. And this is, she called her son by a name indicating that he's the result of immorality. Not the best choice of names. Omale Rachmano le Moshe, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al teitzar es Moav, al tizgar bo milchoma. Don't pressure Moav and don't engage in war with them. Milchoma hu delo. So the pasuk is saying, don't engage in battle with them. Ha'atzurit sarino. However, one can cause them suffering. Vilu tsirira the karya ben ami. The younger daughter used a finer, more refined term in naming her son. She didn't want to make reference to the fact that he came from her father. Amale, the pasuk there says, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Al titzureim the Al tisgar bom, and we understand klal. The pasuk doesn't use the term milchoma. It says don't put pressure on them and don't incite them at all. Afilu tsuri lo, even to cause them pain, not to do to the nation of Ammon. Omar Reb Chia bar Avin, Omar Reb Yeshua ben Korcho, li oylom yakdim odom lidvar mitzvah. One should hasten, if he has a chance to do a mitzvah, he should hasten to do the mitzvah, not to delay it. Shebischar lailo achas shekodmo bechira letzira, the reward that the elder daughter, even though we just got finished with a passage of Gemara saying something negative about the elder daughter, here we're going to say something positive. These two girls had pious intentions, as we mentioned earlier in our shiur. They thought the world was being destroyed and they wanted to preserve humanity. So the elder daughter that hastened, the first opportunity she had, she did what she did with her positive intentions. She outdid her younger sister. So the Gemara says she bischar lailo achas she kodma bechira letzira zochso vekodma sa arba doros lemalchus. We find in the case of Moav the ascent to the descendant of Moav. In this case, we'll refer to David HaMelech. Preceded by a number of generations, the descendant from Ammon. But now we have to be a little more specific, and we'll look at Rashi to point this out. Rashi says, "V'kodmoso arba doros b'Yisrael." There were four generations of Jews that preceded the Jew that resulted from Ammon. How is that?
In the case of Moab, we find the following descendants. When Ruth, who was from Moab, converted, she had a son, Oved, and then Yishai, David, Shlomo. The Ilut Sirah, Lo Hava B'Yisrael, Ad Rechavam Ben Shlomo. The Hava Lay, this gentleman, Rechavam, who was the son of Shlomo, came, was born, Davilei Minamohan Amoinis, from Shlomo's wife Naamah, who was from Ammon, so that we don't find the presence of Jewish, in this case Jewish royalty, from Ammon until you reach a fifth generation after four generations had appeared in Yisrael from Moab, and that as we just enumerated by reading the Rashi. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.